Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Buzz, coming to you following yet another disappointing game. Phillies lose 10-4 at the hands of the Giants. They are now down to 9-7 on the season, but they have lost. They are losers for the last five, and And they've also lost, I guess it would be four of the last five and five of their last seven. It was the math I was looking for. Four of the last five, five of the last seven, and seven of their last nine. So if you go back, great math here to open up the show. If you go back to Saturday against the Dodgers, which is really when this is kind of, they haven't strung together two wins in a row since Saturday, the Dodgers series. Loss, win, loss, win. Loss, loss, win, loss, loss. And most namely, you know, recently here, the offense has just looked dead, lifeless, whatever you want to call it. It does not look like a lineup that runs very deep. I think that's my number one takeaway right now is this lineup just doesn't run very deep. It feels like they're in a situation where unless Turner, Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos are coming through for you. Like, they really don't have a whole lot more. They tried the Stott leadoff thing again on Monday, which he got a hit. He went 1-for-4. I still think Turner, Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos. If I were making the lineup right now, I'd be going Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Castellanos, probably in that order. Make sure the four of them get the most at-bats. I don't think Stott is your answer at leadoff. I don't think he gets on base nearly enough. But this is a guy who, the best on base of his career was .329 in 2023, .315 last year, .321 this year. I just don't see it with him. Like, I don't get the leadoff approach with him. I get what he is in theory. Don't think in practice he gets on base nearly enough. And I know he kind of prototypes as a leadoff hitter, so to speak. Don't think it really comes to fruition. So that's one thing I would change. But right now, the offense just looks dead. Now, they did come out looking a little stronger in the first inning, and it looked like things were really going to take a turn. All in the first inning, Turner doubled in a run, Castellanos singled in a run, and then Kepler drove in a run on a fielder's choice, and they go up 3-0. But then, you know, Taijuan Walker came back down to earth a little bit. He allowed four earned runs. Two more runs were on an error that he committed on a fielder's choice that should have been a double play ball. Like, plays got to be made. But at the end of the day, like, you can't expect the world from Taijuan Walker. And once again, the offense just went completely dead after the first inning. I know Castellanos homered in the fifth, but this is not a team right now that has enough guys in the lineup that anyone should feel good about. This is not a team right now that you feel confident is you're getting anything from the bottom of the lineup. Real Muto, 0-for-3. Kepler actually had a couple of hits and drove in a run on Monday. So, you know, he gets a pass for the time being. Boehm finally got like a real hit, not a ball in the hole that gets knocked down by the shortstop, like a real hit. Finally, he got one. Rojas, 0-for-3. That was also the news coming into the game for anyone who missed it. Rob Thompson saying pregame that Marsh is not starting and he's going to be down for two or three games here. Now, Marsh did ultimately come into the game to play an inning of center field. He did not hit in this game, and that was only because Cody Clemens pinch hit for Johan Rojas, and then Marsh went out there. That wouldn't have made a difference. And this wasn't a game where it felt like any one managerial decision would have made a difference. It didn't feel like a game where they were on the cusp of it. The team just feels thin right now. The rotation is the strongest part of your team, but you had the weakest link out there in Walker. Your lineup is running about 4 to 5 deep on any given night, and I still don't even think they're trotting out the quote-unquote correct lineup. Like, we're already doing the Stott leadoff thing after trying the Schwarber, you know, Turner alternate thing for not even 20 games. Like, kind of bizarre what's going on in the leadoff spot. Don't really get it. For all the people who wanted consistency to begin the year, this is now three different leadoff hitters they've already had. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. So the lineup playing really, really thin. And then the bullpen. The bullpen is definitely worse than it was a year ago. And Jeff Hoffman's having a really good season in Toronto, just like he had a really good season here last year. Phillies definitely miss him. Banks got lit up for two runs. Ruiz allowed two runs in this game. The bullpen on any given night, there's probably – I laid it out on my WIP show. There's like four guys you feel good about and four guys you really just don't feel good about. And ironically, Banks was in the haves versus the have-nots category thus far. His ERA jumps up to 3.38 with this. A lot of people are really ripping on Tanner Banks. I don't think he's anything special, but he's been scoreless in five of his seven appearances thus far. Dating back to last season, he's always been a lefty reliever who pitches to about a 4 ERA. Like, you kind of know what you're getting in Tanner Banks. And you kind of know what you're getting in him. You need Jose Ruiz to be a little bit better. You need Alvarado to be really good. You need Kirkring to be really good. You need Stroud to be really good. And you need Jordan Romano to be a lot better than he's been. But again, the bullpen wasn't the game that, or like the unit of this team that has really been letting them down. The bullpen almost feels like a secondary measure to me at the moment. This offense is what needs to get cleaned up. This offense needs to, and it's not the same thing that we've seen. It's not necessarily the same thing. I think it's an elementary way to look at it to say that this is the quote-unquote same we're seeing as a season ago. We saw a lot of chasing a season ago. The chase rate's been down this year. Now we're just seeing, swing early, not working a lot of at-bats, and it's frustrating because it doesn't feel like that's producing a ton of results either. And it's just not good enough right now. Like, I don't know what the answer is. It kind of begs the question, again, going back to the offseason, like, did they do enough? Their only offseason move in the lineup was Max Kepler. Like, you knew you had an outfield issue. Brandon Marsh, like, you knew couldn't hit lefties. Now he can't hit righties either, going 0 for his last 26. Did David Dombrowski do enough? And I think right now it's fair to say that it appears he did not. And it doesn't feel like any sizable contribution was made to this team. And, yeah, they still might win 90 games, still might be in contention in the NL East, but it feels like this a lot of – although they're not playing out the same way, again, I think it's basic to say that the offense looks exactly the same as it did, 6 months ago in October. They're not getting out the same way, but the offense has certainly been – lackluster. The offense has left a lot to be desired. And it's just because they swing a lot early in counts. They don't work a lot of counts. And they don't do what needs to be done in a lot of situations. There's four or five guys in the lineup at any given night you don't feel good about. Center field, they haven't had a center fielder since Victorino. The calls for Justin Crawford to come up are going to get louder and louder, though I definitely don't think they think he's ready. Truth be told, he's probably not ready. He's 21 years old. Maybe that results in Oscar Mercado, which is probably just the same thing as Marsh and Rojas, but it's a different name. It's something new, so to speak. You know what you have in Marsh right now. He might be hitting his way down to Lehigh at some point soon if he continues this. I can't imagine the leash with him is going to last much longer. So, kind of overall takeaways on the game, it's just how bad the offense has been. The bullpen runs thin. The lineup runs thin. And the only unit of the team that I guess everyone feels good about seemingly is the rotation right now. Phillies lose at the hands of the Giants 10-4. This is now dating back to the Braves series. The third series in a row, they've lost the opening game of the series. We know how important that is. Every series they've won the first game, they've won the series, including the Dodgers series. And ever since they went to Atlanta a week ago, everything just feels different. Everything feels, you know, everything feels like something shifted. They won the one game in Atlanta 4-3, and they won the game in St. Louis 4-1. And if history repeats itself, this is a four-game series. So I guess your goal right now is to draw a 2-2 split. But losing the first game of the series, they're just not setting the tone here. And they've now officially lost the first game of a series in as many series as they had won it. And that is something kind of really, really frustrating to see. So, again, back at it on Tuesday. It'll be Wheeler and Justin Verlander. Jesus Luzardo. Wheeler went on Sunday in St. Louis. Jesus Luzardo against Justin Verlander, which Justin Verlander's only kind of weird. I remember seeing this stat, years ago, that he set the record. Justin Verlander did. So he came up in. Let me double check the year here. Justin Verlander made his debut in the major leagues in 2005, and he set the MLB record, I believe, for distance between two starts. In a major league, in one particular major league ballpark, in his career. He started in 22 in the World Series, but he started in 2007. At Citizens Bank Park in a regular season game, and then started at Citizens Bank Park last year, and it was like the longest distance for any pitcher in one particular stadium in a career to go 17 years spanning. So that was pretty cool. So the Phillies are going to get another look at him after he did pitch against them last August. So pretty cool stuff there. And it's kind of just back to this team as a whole right now. So a couple numbers I want to throw out, facts and figures, if you will. Obviously, as I mentioned, Marsh being shut down for a couple of days here. This was from – let me pull up the stat here. I believe it was from Matt Gell, but the Phillies PR, I assume, put this out, that they are 1-for-11 – or someone figured this out, I should say. Phillies are 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position on Monday. Seven for the last 54 over the last seven games with runners in scoring position, dropping them below the Mendoza line to 199 in those situations. They're 16. They are 9-7. They struggle to get runners in position to begin with, which is a problem. And what you saw on Monday is that once they get those runners on base, they don't even necessarily hit them in well. Not necessarily. They flat out don't hit them in well. And that's a problem, too. If you're leaving ducks on the pond, so to speak, consistently, that's when guys start swinging for the fences because they don't trust that innings are going to get strung together, and that's the only way to score runs. And it's not a sustainable way to score runs over multiple games, multiple innings in a major league season. This team's just not good enough right now. Like, they're not deep enough right now. They're 9-7. We should still be feeling good about them. And something was pointed out to me on my 7-11 WIP show on Sunday, which is that we kind of all forget the Phillies got out to an unbelievably hot start last year. And when I say hot start, through like the first half of the season, the first 2 weeks really weren't great. It took them a little bit to get off the ground. It did take them a little bit to get off the ground, and namely the hitting was the struggle. Now, that's when I remember Rob Thompson got asked pregame, like, do you worry about this team's offense? He was like, no, we're going to slug. Like, I'm not worried about that. And people kind of had a little bit of fun with it for a minute there, and then they did really slug for a long time. It was about now that happened last season. That team last year felt better, and this is really something that bothers me. But the team last year felt better than the one on the field now. Like, it didn't really feel like in the offseason they got namely better. They added the rotation's better. Let me amend this. The rotation's definitely better with Luzardo, and when Ranger comes back, you kick Taijuan Walker out of the rotation. Kepler, it is an upgrade over Marsh and Rojas. Now, at least you only have to play one of them. But it feels like the players on the team who have returned... Bullpen definitely got worse. No Hoffman, no... Like, Estevez wasn't on the team. Bullpen definitely got worse. The lineup doesn't feel like it's playing as deep now as it did back then. It felt like there were... I mean, you were getting weight. You were getting more out of Bone. You're definitely getting more out of Marsh. And, you know, it felt like that the guys on the team right now were producing more. And I think at the end of the day... That's kind of really something that is an issue here, which is that they didn't have – there was no – I think they could have done more. I think Dombrowski could have done more. But there was no necessarily perfect offseason that, like, solved all of their moves. Now, I think, that, again, they could have done more, but there was no, like, one switch that would have pulled all that off. But what I do think is that it's fair to criticize – the players that they already have on this core. I mean, the players you pay, you've paid Bryce Harper, you've paid Trey Turner, you know, you've paid JT Realmuto, you've paid, you know, you now brought in Max Kepler. You paid Nick Castellanos, Schwarber. Like, eventually the guys you sign need to produce. And again, most of them are definitely in the upper echelon of team right now, of the team right now. Turner, Harper, Castellanos, Schwarber, I would say, are the four, and they all are on big contracts. But the other players you have on the, you know, locked up on the team for this season need to come through at some point too. Bohm is, you can't just send everybody down who stinks. It might happen with Marsh just because he's really unbelievably bad. But like, Bohm is going to be on the major league roster and be your third baseman for the most part. It would take a lot for Sosa to really take over that role. And I don't know if there's an answer other than just like these guys need to hit better. These guys need to put together better bats. These guys need to be maybe not so narrow-minded at the plate. It feels like there's a lot of first-pitch swings, and I was talking to Jack about this on the final out. Like, it's frustrating because you know in the big league sometimes the best pitch you're going to see is that first pitch, but there are times I still just would prefer they take it or just like be open to taking it. It feels like they're so deadlocked in on swinging early, and again, the chase rate is down from a year ago, but I don't know if that's a Kevin Long thing, probably is, but, you know, or what kind of what the deal is there, but there seems to be a philosophical approach issue with these hitters that, you know, I don't know if Kevin Long has a job at the end of the year if things continue this way. Probably not. Maybe Rob Thompson doesn't have a job either, but that could have a trickle-down effect to the hitting coach. I just don't see how this offense, as of right now, through 16 games, is going to hold up over 162. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's too early to call. That was kind of my opening question on my show on Sunday night, are you worried about this team, or is it still too early to tell? And let me clarify again. Like, I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs, but when I say it's too early to tell, like, do you think this is just early season woes or these real persisting problems that exist over the course of a season? I tend to think the latter. I tend to think that this team does have massive issues that, whether they were addressable or not, probably need to be addressed before they're really kind of out of everyone's system. You have Johan Rojas now playing every day in center field, who, you know, his best at bats are when he tries to bunt. And that should tell you all you need to know about his capabilities at the plate. And also has made probably the biggest defensive blunder of the Phillies thus far, costing Zach Wheeler a couple of extra runs in his start down in Atlanta. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Again, Phillies lose 10-4 at the hands of the Giants. It's a four-game series. So three more games left to go here against the Giants, and then three against the Marlins before they'll head back on the road next week to New York and then Chicago. If they draw a split in this series, so if they win, you know, they would be what, to 11-9? Like, they need to get back on a winning streak if they're going to find themselves back, you know, not back, but just below 500. I had been doing the Phillies magic number. They're already two games back in the NL East. And then I had to resort to the magic number for their playoff spot. And right now they're tied with the Diamondbacks for the last playoff spot. Way too early to look at the standings, I know. But just to put in perspective of how good this National League is and there's going to be a good team who does not make the playoffs at the end of the season. That's just how it's going to work. So the Phillies certainly can't just rest on that as one of their laurels. So again, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. And as always, of course, you can come back to this page to find the latest with myself, my co-host Justin Morgenstein, and my co-host Francisco Rojas. And that'll do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. We'll talk tomorrow.